Hi, this is Cherise Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. And this week, there's definitely no BS involved. I mean, there never is with me. I hope you've come to learn that over the years. But this week, it's a really unscripted, unplanned, and minimally edited episode. It's just about two things that have been on my mind. I'm keeping it very real. I'm feeling very burned out. So I'm talking about burnout. And I'm also talking about the value of the Black Beauty Club. So while I'm guessing many of you, if not all of you, can relate to burnout or at least know what it is, you might not know who or what the Black Beauty Club is. Formed by two New York-based women, Tomi Talabi and Asmeret Behi Lumex, the Black Beauty Club first emerged on Clubhouse. Do you remember that? Is it still around? It was the audio chat room app that took over our lives at the height of the pandemic in 2020. But today, the Black Beauty Club is very much a real life event that is really affecting real lives. They take place regularly in New York and more recently and more often in London and Paris. And I'm sure it's just going to keep growing. Earlier this week, I co-hosted their latest London event. So in the second half of the show, I'll tell you a lot more about the club, its message, and its founders. First of all, burnout. And I'm going to be just very honest with you. This is not one of those episodes where I've researched everything for you and got stats and resources. If anything, I'm probably relying on you a bit more. I am just feeling it this week, and I know myself. I think I might have mentioned before that I tend to feel burnout on an annual basis, usually in the autumn. I don't know why, but I tend to have a lot of deadlines in September. If you don't know, aside from this podcast, I have clients that I work with on photographic campaigns and also online magazines and in-house magazines. When I talk about beauty, that's literally all I do. If I'm not talking to you, I'm writing about beauty or I'm photographing it. So for some reason, September and October just get very intense. And I always know that. But I'm also somebody that I don't like to say no unless it's something I don't want to do. I know that sounds obvious, but I know many of us have problems saying no anyway. But I've had quite a few really cool opportunities come up. And some of those cold opportunities mean money. And yeah, so I've said yes to a lot of amazing opportunities, but I think burnout shows up for me and it's really tough actually, because if burnout shows up when you're feeling premenstrual, then that can really change how you deal with things. So for me, burnout shows up in reaching for more sugary foods, well, more than often, let's be real. I do like sugary things. I love to bake. I love chocolate. But I feel like in the past few months, I've really tampered down on that kind of stuff. And I only do it if I really want it, or I only do it if maybe it's during the day. But when burnout kicks in, it doesn't matter what time of day it is. I had a cold, and I'm going to say cold because it was literally just my nose and my throat. I didn't have flu, you know, where it gets into your head and you get those body aches. So for at least a week, I just had this feeling like, is this going to turn into something else? And because I knew I had quite a lot of stuff on, I did things that I don't normally do. Like I started taking flu-based medicine throughout the day, just to ensure it didn't develop any further. I made sure I took all of my vitamins because I've got lots of vitamins, but maybe I don't take them every day. I also bought some propolis, which is something that's made by bees. And I basically watched, I think it was a Brazilian model doing one of those Vogue Get Ready With Me's. And she said she takes it for her throat and like being on the road and stuff. So I was like, let me get some of that. And honestly, I think that was the key to me feeling so much better because I managed to just get rid of that cold. So yeah, it showed up in the form of me reaching for sugary things. It showed up in the form of me getting sick, which is like, I think that's when your body's like, hey, you need to stop ignoring things. And it also shows up in lack of energy and lack of motivation. And I also want to say lack of effort. I feel like effort, energy, motivation are these things that come up when you are feeling burnt out. But another word that's come up for me just this morning is the word willpower and the concept of it being a limited resource. So I've mentioned in the past, one of my favorite podcasts is the Huberman Lab podcast, which is by Andrew Huberman. And he is a nerd. He is a geek. He's going to keep you listening for 2 to 3 hours. He's my favorite kind of podcaster when I'm in that mood for information. I've been told that many of my episodes are information rich, and Andrew is on another level. I highly recommend him. He is all about the body, the mind. I guess I could say wellness and fitness, but I think he goes beyond that. And yeah, just by chance this morning, feeling my usual kind of like misery / burnout because it's raining outside. So I went on YouTube and I saw that he'd released a brand new episode, and it's about willpower and tenacity. And he brings up, like I said, the concept of willpower being a limited resource. Because I think we tend to think of willpower as this thing you turn on and off. And he actually says, every decision we make ends up draining us. And I thought that was really interesting, because I do think many of us come from a background where we just work, we just get stuff done. And you do the thing until the thing is done. So I was listening to this episode this morning while I was photographing some products. It's a 2-hour-long episode, and he's talking about how you can increase willpower and tenacity. And I've only listened to about half an hour of it, but so much of it really struck me based on what I've been going through this past week and that I wanted to share with you. So within that, a lot of talk about motivation and balance comes up. And I think those are two things that are massively affected when we reach burnout. And I have to say, he doesn't mention burnout in the first half hour that I've listened to. I'm just drawing these kind of correlations because I think it makes so much sense. And I will say here, if you already know Andrew, he's brilliant at what he does. He is the expert. I am not. I'm going to paraphrase. So I'm definitely going to leave you a link to his show in the notes for you so you can listen to the whole thing. I'm just giving you my take on it. And you might even be thinking, why is she even bringing up a podcast about willpower when she's talking about burnout? But for me, a lot of what Andrew shares talks about our inability to ignore certain things like sugary foods when we have this kind of low feeling. And I know personally, I shared it earlier, that that is part of my burnout. That is why this Monday night, I was on a train at midnight getting home from hosting an event. And I was just eating this multi-pack of mints. So mints aren't the worst thing in the world. I think I did. Yeah, I also ate a tiny like chocolate wafer thing. But I had this bag of mints, you know, like some of them will be toffee mints and some of them will be chewy mints and some will be hard. And I was just eating these mints to kind of stay awake because I'm not normally on a train at midnight. And I didn't get home till 1:30, and I felt like the sugar was just keeping me alive. And of course, you know, sometimes that's what sugar is. It literally keeps us going. It gives us that energy that we really, really need. So for me, once I got in late Monday night, Tuesday morning, I still needed to get up at 5:36 because I had stuff to do. And I think by 11 o'clock, I had a nap, and I am not a napper. I always wish that I could be someone that naps, but I think my body was like, no, you had hardly any sleep and you put all that sugar in me, so now you need to rest. And I really enjoyed the nap, as in just not having to think. But when I woke up, I felt groggy. And then I started to experience like the kind of negative, the more negative part of burnout, which is kind of feeling very frustrated with yourself and down on yourself. And that's something I struggle with quite a lot because I work for myself. So if I don't do something, I don't get paid. It's not that I can go to a job and take the piss, excuse my French, Monday to Wednesday, knowing that I'm still going to get paid at the end of the month and knowing that I can like pull it all back Thursday and Friday. You know, I work for myself, which I love, and I'm so grateful for that. But I have to get things done. And I think that's why sometimes I work through burnout. I've got stuff to do. And it's not even that I have a desire to do the work. It's a need, okay? It needs to happen. So I've been trying to think, is burnout something that starts out as mental and becomes physical, or is it the other way around? Because I feel that things often get to us mentally, and those things that you tell yourself can stop you from doing the physical. So like, I want to go to the gym, okay, but I'm not in the mood. My mind is telling me I'm not in the mood, so my body isn't leaving the house. But sometimes, obviously, it could be that physically you are tired and you might want to do the thing, and your brain is telling you you want to do the thing, but your body's telling you can't. So this guilt comes up. So again, I feel like I need to apologize here. Like I said, this is not a scripted episode. It's just me trying to work out why I'm feeling burnt out and sharing it with you to see how you feel. And also ensuring that I get a podcast out this week. Like, let me put that in there. I work for myself, and this podcast is created by myself. And it's my kind of act of service. Like, I love to get this podcast out. I love seeing, like, lately I've been seeing listeners in real life, and that is the most rewarding thing. So when my husband suggested, maybe don't put out a podcast this week, I was like, well, I didn't last week because I was not well. I need to be consistent. And he's like, it won't hurt if you let people miss you. You know, people that listen to you, they're going to come back. And I'm like, no, but I've worked so hard to be consistent. So I have to carry on the consistency. So yeah, it's kind of like, burnout is this thing you can work through it, but I feel like it's going to kick you at some point. Like, for me, if burnout arrives during a time of busyness, which is say right now, because I'm on deadline, it can really make you feel much worse, because you've got that impetus, you have to make money. But if burnout arrives at a time, like say when you're not, for want of a better phrase, booked and busy, then I think it can start to make you feel bad about yourself, because you're like, hang on, I don't deserve to feel burnout. Like, what the hell am I feeling burnout for? I'm actually being pretty lazy. So yeah, it's a weird one, and I don't have the answers. And like I said, I haven't got the stats or the coping tools, but maybe, you know, you can tell me about your experiences with burnout or share your solutions. One quote I did want to share actually from Andrew's podcast is,
when we are well rested, for instance, when we've been getting great sleep of sufficient duration the previous night and the night before that, our level of tenacity and willpower to engage in things that we would not ordinarily engage in by default, and our ability to resist behaviors and thought patterns that would otherwise be our default behaviors and thought patterns, is much higher. Conversely, when we are not getting enough quality sleep on a regular basis, our ability to call on tenacity and willpower is diminished.
As Andrew says, that is kind of a duh statement. Like, yeah, it's obvious, but it's still something. And I always think it's the obvious things that we need to remind ourselves of, instead of just going through the motions and being on autopilot. It makes me kind of think of that saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. You cannot give to others. I cannot do this podcast. I cannot do my work, not to the best of my ability, if I don't address these basic needs. We need to address these basic needs, because we need to be wholly engaged in whatever the thing is that we're doing, whether that's spending time with someone, whether that's going to the gym. Like, you have to be engaged at the gym, otherwise you might hurt yourself. You need to be engaged in your office meetings, otherwise you might say yes or no to something that you probably shouldn't have. So I say all of this to say, I am recognizing my burnout and I'm trying to work through it, but without working for it. I'm not trying to force myself to get loads done. I'm trying to do the things that I enjoy and make sure that I prioritize the things that need doing, but work out, do they need doing today? Can they wait until tomorrow? Can they wait for a few days? Instead, I want to do the things that I want to do, which is get this podcast out. I do love this show, and I think it's really gaining a lot of momentum. So I'm seeing the rewards. So maybe that's part of me being like, no, you've got to keep going. But I'm trying to be better at it. And I just feel good for putting this out there, to be honest, that I've got burnout. Like, and I meant what I said. I would love to know, how does burnout show up for you? I know in the past I've had people on the show talking about it, but I want to know from you, do you get regular periods of burnout at certain times of the year like I do? Have you zero experience of burnout? And if so, what do you put that down to? I'd love to know. And what I will do is I will share a poll over on the show's Spotify page so you can get involved in that anytime. Or you can DM me on Instagram or X, formerly known as Twitter, at Beauty Me Podcast. Okay, so let's talk about the Black Beauty Club. As mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Black Beauty Club came to life during the pandemic. I don't know about you, but I was really into the audio chat room app Clubhouse when it first launched. It came at a time when we felt even more separate from one another due to being inside for days on end. And the Black Beauty Club in particular was one of those accounts that grew hugely because, of course, Black people, Black women want to talk about beauty. The founders, Tommy Talabi, who works at Pinterest, and Asmeret Behi Lumax, who is also the founder of non-profit organization One Love Community Fridge, are focused on creating more space for conversation. And when I co-hosted their London event this week, I really saw the need for that space. And I know that space needs to exist. And I think sometimes people might be like, well, why do you need your own space? Why do you need your own thing? It's like you have to make space for something to let it be, right? To let it breathe. And yes, we can have conversations online, but the magic of conversation in person, I think that's where we can really actually change things. And I definitely felt that the other night at the event. When Tommy first approached me about co-hosting the event, I instantly said yes, because I have actually envied watching the Black Beauty Club's events take place in New York. I follow them on Instagram and I've been to New York many times. I've got very good friends in New York. So every time I see they've had an event, I'm just like, yes, this is so important. It's so beautiful to see the crowds that attend and to see the subject matter that the Black Beauty Club covers. It's all about just having the conversations with people in real life. Because obviously, when you have a conversation in real life, you would hopefully put more thought into what you're saying and hopefully put more thought into what you're listening to, put more thought into your listening. It's great to talk online. We can tap, tap, tap on our phones. But I think being there in person, you listen more. And when you listen more, you learn more and you're able to give more informed responses or ask more questions. So I was really happy to be a part of the event. It happened at Soho House and I co-hosted alongside former guest of the show, Joy Matashi, who is now my good friend. I'm trying to remember when Joy first appeared on the podcast, actually, because Joy, if you're listening, I'm just looking her up. You need to come back again. Oh my gosh, this was in the early days. This was May 2020, episode 34. And in that episode, Joy talks about tap tap makeup, which back then she loved to just like apply makeup with a little tap tap. And she talks about her journey as a hair artist. So I co-hosted alongside Joy and Tommy and Asmeret. And I don't know how many people were there. I know there was a ton of RSVPs and I know the room was full. I know some people were standing. Men and women both turned up. It wasn't just Black people in the audience either. And the concept for this chat was image makers and kind of like the future of Black beauty. And the conversation, it was like, it went up and down and everywhere, because Tommy obviously asked myself and Joy some questions about our background, myself as a photographer and writer, Joy as a hair architect and a student of architecture. And then we, of course, opened things up to the audience, and then the audience began sharing their experiences and asking their own questions. And while it started out as being about image makers, so I mentioned recent guest Danielle Igor, who's doing amazing things in hair. Joy brought up Edward Enninful. Edward Enninful's name came up quite often. He's the current editor of UK Vogue, British Vogue. He won't be for much longer. I think his last issue is March 2024. And so, yeah, we were talking about actual imagery, photographers, artists like Lorna Simpson. It's just, it was great to have a conversation about art and photography and hair. But then the conversation really turned towards economics as well and access to beauty. So it's really been on my mind since we spoke on Monday night, because it's clear that there are many more conversations to be had. And you do need this space, because there were people in that crowd that were very matter of fact, that nothing has changed. There was a woman in the crowd who's worked in beauty for 40 years, and she said, "I've heard this many times before, nothing ever changes." Then there was somebody else in the audience that was like, "I'm going to make sure that the next generation knows who we've seen before. Like Edward Enninful, he did that. He proved that it can be done. And I want people to know that." So there was passion in the air. There was annoyance in the air. There was honesty, very honest. And I love nothing more than an honest conversation. And for me, it just reminded me there's so much more to talk about. And on my podcast itself, I want to host more of these conversations. And I'd definitely love to be involved in another Black Beauty Club event, because one thing that came to my mind that night, I had been talking about, you know, image makers, and I said I actually see them as seekers of beauty, because I do think whatever creative industry you're in, you're kind of seeking something and creating it and then sharing it. And I wanted to share that a recent guest of mine, Lily Twelfthtree, she has the TikTok account Bareface Media, and she reached out to me about 3 weeks ago. And she was like, Lily is a white creator based in Australia. And we had a great episode, by the way. Let me just find that for you so I can, I will share links to any episodes that I mention. So yeah, Lily was on September last year, episode 139. And she talked about everything, you know, trend forecasting and why it's good to block people sometimes on social media. So ever since then, me and Lily, we'll chat back and forth. And she sent me this question. She told me that much of her engaged audience on TikTok are women of color. And she's like, genuinely like, "I'm a white creator in Australia, and most of my engaged audience are women of color and Black women." And she wanted to know if I had any thoughts on that. So I was like, let me have a think. And again, that word seekers came up. And I ended up saying to Lily, I think what you do is, because she will break down trends, anything from strawberry girl makeup, like whatever that one's called, to why we've stopped loving YouTube, like Lily will analyze trends for you. And she just seems to attract people or women of color that need the information. So I was like, if you're telling me the engaged people, much of them are women of color, they're coming to you because you are filling a gap for them. And I said, perhaps it's because we are not the ones who are catered to. When a woman of color goes into a store that sells hair or beauty products, the products might be there, but the information probably won't be. It'll be there on a shelf, but the staff with the knowledge won't be. I mean, you definitely won't get that if you go into a hair store in the UK. For those that don't know, very recently here in the UK in Peckham, there was a hair shop that wasn't owned by a Black person, but was selling exclusively Black hair products. And a woman that went in there to buy something was accused of shoplifting, and she ended up being put in a headlock. I don't know the latest update on that, but obviously it is disgusting. And what I'm trying to say there is you'll go into these shops willing to spend money to buy products that cater to your hair, but you will not get the customer service at all. So I said to Lily, I think what it is as a white woman, you are less likely to investigate, because when you go anywhere, the world is pretty much made for you, with you in mind. So if a white woman goes into Boots, she's going to go to the straight hair, but she's going to go to, you know, this color makeup. It has taken far longer and is still lacking when it comes to information on Black products and techniques. So I think that the reason that Lily has so many people of color in her comments, and that's what I mean by engagement, not just viewing, but asking her more questions, is because she's giving information. And it doesn't matter that it's 2023, we still need information. And so I reached out to Lily today just to check that she's cool with me, like, you know, bringing this up in this episode. And she said, of course. And she said she wishes that she had a statistic to share. But she said, I can honestly say my most engaged audience are women of color. And she said she's been able to think about it more since we spoke. And she said, the fact that women of color aren't catered for means they have to do their own research. And when they do that research, more knowledge comes with more questions, and then there is a greater appetite for analysis like my videos. So I feel like the two of us having that conversation, we've like worked out that's why she appeals to women of color, because she's giving that information. And she did say she really wants her audience to know that she sees them without reducing them to a statistic, which is why we said, like, let's definitely have this segment in the show, because it is important. And I would strongly advise that you go check out Barefaced Media on TikTok, because it's information that we do need. And that's the reason why the Black Beauty Club has to exist and will absolutely grow, because it's information and it's the sharing of information. We don't always need like big corporations to tell us stuff. Sometimes we need to listen to each other. And co-hosting the Black Beauty event this Monday was just such a great opportunity to witness conversations being had. And even myself, I had one question in my head about why it seems that older generations are less willing. I believe that older generations are the ones that often gatekeep or kind of keep things to themselves. Or if a Black person makes it in media, they might not always help the next person. And that is what I've heard within certain circles. So I'm just speaking from what I hear. And I was like, I wonder why that is. And then in the crowd that attended, they were like, well, no, hey, I'm 24. And when we do stuff together, we share. Or if I'm working on a photo shoot, I will source a Black model, a Black photographer, to ensure that we're being given the opportunities. And I was like, okay. So it's a generational thing, because I feel that, say, my grandparents, when they came to the UK, they were purely about laying down a foundation for their future family. They were about working as hard as they could, taking any job that they could, saving every penny, buying the house, because a house means you own something and that cannot be taken away from you. So I feel like that's a different generation. And now today, perhaps, we have seen more. I've seen that Edward Enninful can be the editor of British Vogue and make more money, have the magazine make more money than American Vogue. I have seen that. Therefore, I know it can be done. So that conversation helped me come to a conclusion myself that actually did leave me having a more positive mood around the future of media, the future of fashion, the future of art when it comes to being a person of color within those industries. So I just want to say to Tommy and Asmeret, you're doing an amazing job. Keep doing it. I want to be involved in the next Black Beauty Club. And I'll be sure to share links to the Black Beauty Club on Instagram and also their feature in Vogue, just so you can learn a little bit more. And yeah, thank you for listening to this very unscripted episode. And just like I've tried to keep it real with you, feel free to keep it real with me. If you want to let me know, hey, Charisse, that unscripted episode, no. Please let me know, because this show is for you. I get so much from it. And even at the Black Beauty Club, I have to give a shout out to one listener in particular, Edwina. You made me feel so like valued. You made me feel that the show is valued. I didn't get your surname, but just thank you. And thank you to everyone else that I saw there that knows the show. It just feels so good to meet you in real life. And it's actually made me think that there should be a Beauty Me Live event. So let's see what happens in 2024. Thank you to everybody who has listened. Thank you for listening to this episode. Like I said, I'm going to leave a poll on Spotify for you if you want to talk to me about burnout. And yeah, if you ever want to give me feedback, you can DM me on Instagram or X, formerly known as Twitter, at Beauty Me Podcast. And yeah, if you enjoyed this, I would love it if you could subscribe so you never miss another episode. And also leave a review. If you want to leave 5 stars on Spotify, do it. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time.